God's people had been given everything that they needed. Land, security, food, and even a king. They'd been blessed by God according to the promise he'd made to Abraham many hundreds of years before. But in 597 BC, King Jehoiachin had surrendered Jerusalem to the invading Babylonian army. God had turned away from that king, and with him, that turning away, the blessing had gone. And the king and 10,000 of the brightest and best from the land were taken into exile. 5 years later, God called Ezekiel as a prophet into his service. And as with all prophets, God used Ezekiel to challenge his people and to ask them, to implore them to turn back to him, and also to give them hope in their place of exile. When he spoke to them in these words, as we've heard, they had no hope in human terms. They were in exile without a future. But in this prophecy, in chapter 37, God gives them a picture of resurrection, which is both hope and strength. So let's think first of all about hope. It doesn't start off very hopeful. And there is not much hope, really, in this picture. God's people say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off, verse 11. They thought they were literally dried up. They'd lost their national identity. They'd been scattered far and wide. The nation was on its way to death. But just a few probably remembered the promise given to Abraham some 1,200 years before. A promise that they, as God's people, would be used by him to be a blessing to the whole world. The Lord had said to Abraham those many years before, go from your country to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples will be blessed through you. But this is where they were at, feeling like dry bones. And the reason? Because they had turned away from God. And so the blessing that they had received from Abraham had almost been reversed completely. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 28, the Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies if you turn from him. You will come at them from one direction, but flee from them in seven, and you will become a thing of horror to all kingdoms on earth. So you're beginning to wonder, what has all this got to do with me on this Easter Sunday? Well, if the Israelites, whom Ezekiel was speaking to, were experiencing exile, then there is a much bigger and more profound exile that all of us experience. And it's this. God, at the very beginning of time, made a perfect creation. And that saw Adam and Eve at peace with him in the garden. But they ate of the fruit. They turned away from God, and they were expelled. They were exiled from the garden and from intimacy with God and from everlasting life. And death entered into the human race from that day. We're not designed to die. That was not God's original intention. In the middle of that garden was a tree, and the tree was the tree of life. God's original plan was for us to live with him forever in that garden, in a perfect relationship with him. The paradox of today is that we tend to live our lives as if we aren't going to die. We hardly ever pay any attention to death. But then when death comes knocking, or closer to us, we can so often lose our hope completely. Viktor Frankl was a Holocaust survivor. He wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning. I wonder if you've read it. In the death camps, he observed three responses amongst the people that he was with. Some people became very bad, and they did anything to survive. They pushed everybody out of the way just to try to survive themselves. Some people gave up. They literally dried up. And some people, just a few people, became heroic. Three different responses in the face of imminent death. Why the difference? Well, Frankl observes that it depends on what your hope is based on. If you entered the death camp and your hope was based on your family, money, or status, all of those things were stripped away from you. You had none of those. But if your hope was based on something else, you were able to translate that into being heroic and serving other people. St. Paul comments in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied." If only for this life we have hope in Christ. Now today is a day when we remember that this life is not the only life that we have hope for. Go back to Ezekiel again, where we see a picture of resurrection. Chapter 7, there was a noise. Sorry, verse 7. A noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked and I saw, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath yet in them. And then in verse 14, we're told that the Spirit is put in you, and you will live. Well, as for the Israelites at this time, God did bring them back from exile, you'll be pleased to hear, and within 50 years. And they continued to do the work that God had asked them to do, to be a blessing to the nations. But, and it's a very big but, they still had a bigger problem to contend with. And it's the same problem that we have to contend with today. They were, like us, just ordinary human beings. They may have escaped exile, but they didn't escape death. They, like us, needed an even bigger escape. So fast forward 500 years. Christ enters this world. He's born, he lives, he heals, he speaks, he's arrested, he's tried, and he's killed. And then 3 days later, he rises from the dead and meets Mary. And the same Easter evening, he meets the cowering, fearful disciples huddled together in a room somewhere hidden away in Jerusalem. And in John chapter 20 that we heard read this morning, Jesus says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them. He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He breathed on them. He said, "I am going to lead you into the ultimate return from exile. I am taking you back to what it was like in the garden, where you were close to the tree of life. If you believe in me, you will be raised from death to life. Death will not be the end." 1 Corinthians 15 again. Paul becomes almost Shakespearean in tone, where he says, "Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" It's almost like he's mocking death. Where is your sting? It's gone. If we believe and trust in Christ. You see, the world that we live in is resigned to death. It may not talk about it very much. It may use different words like passing away. But it is generally resigned to it. It tries to minimize it. It tells us that it's just part of the circle of life. Henry Scott Holland wrote, "Death is nothing at all. Death is nothing at all. I've only slipped away into the next room, where I am and where you are. Whatever we were to each other, we still are. Call me by my familiar name." Death is nothing at all? No. 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 Death is evil. I prefer Dylan Thomas. "Do not go gentle into that good night. Old age should burn and rave at close of day. Rage, rage against the dying of the light." Death is wrong. Jesus brings the solution. And today we celebrate that solution. So this passage, this ancient passage, is a passage of hope. But it's also a passage of strength. And it answers the question, how do I get this into my life? Well, you need to hear the truth. Note that Ezekiel was told to preach to the dry bones. Not to go and pour water on them or soothe them or do anything else, but just to preach to them. We, all of us, need to listen to God's words to us, to read them, to meditate on them, to read his words every day of our lives. Secondly, we need to be born again by the Spirit of God. In the previous chapter, in Ezekiel chapter 36, Ezekiel says of God, "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow all my decrees and laws." We need to hear the truth. We need to be born again, and we need to believe the gospel. The gospel tells us that we need God. We are quite literally dead without him. So hear these words of hope and strength from God's word for you today. Amen. We're going to now use the gospel, or the Easter acclamation. It's not in your order of service, but it's very simple. I say, "Alleluia, Christ is risen." And you respond, "He is risen indeed. Alleluia." We're going to say it quietly and then get louder towards the end. So whisper first. "Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Alleluia.